Welcome to the Chasing Tomorrow podcast, episode 156. It's me, Joe Gagnon, tonight. We're going to do something a little bit different. I have been, playing around the edges here on this idea of ultra endurance, high performance for many, many years. And every once in a while, I'm reminded of, one of the biggest adventures that I took on, which was in 2017 when I ran a marathon on 6 continents in 6 days. And it's a story that many are interested in hearing more and more about. And so I thought I would just take you a bit on the journey and tell you about it because, well, it's not been in the news lately, but for a while it was something that both got me on television, radio, in print, and sort of, around the world. Of course, that's what I did. So yeah, what an amazing experience, years later to consider. Because, we know that there are lots of people who run a marathon. There are lots of people who might even run more than one marathon. And I had done many road marathons, somewhere in the neighborhood of 25 or 30 of them by the time I came up with this idea. And, the impetus for the idea to run a marathon on 6 continents in 6 days really stemmed from, me finishing writing up my book and finding that I really needed something substantive to end the book. If you're going to live the high performance life, then you would say to yourself, well, what in heaven's name might I do? I probably wasn't going to go climb Mount Everest. That's a 60 or 90 day effort. And I wasn't ready to take off that much time from work. Swimming across the English Channel probably wasn't my thing, since probably not the best swimmer in the world. And I was just thinking, what am I good at? I'm good at running. I'm good at traveling. I'm good at taking overnight flights. And, I had heard about a 7-continent challenge, something you paid a lot of money for, got together with a bunch of people and chartered an airplane, and you went from Antarctica to South America and so on. But it seemed a little bit less, sort of like something I would create. So, well, as it turns out, you really can fly in and out of Antarctica, the 7th continent, as it would be, without a charter. And so, my instinct said, well, then let's see if we could do 6 continents. And, it took a while to come up with the planning. The truth of the matter is that there isn't a route that one needs to go. There aren't even that many people who've done it. I think there are thousands of people who have climbed Mount Everest, and it's on the order of 50 people who have run a marathon in 6 continents in 6 days. And, I was going to set out to do it. I was going to, do it to support a good cause at the time, getting kids who needed help with high school education around the world. And then I was going to do it in my own way. And so month after planning, trying to figure out where do you start and how do you go from there? I knew that I wanted to start in Australia. I have great friends in Australia. I was going to pick other locations where I knew someone who could at least meet me at the airport, pick me up and get me to the starting point and then take me back to the airport. Because think about it, you have 6 days, you're going to be on a flight for about 12 hours each day. That gives you 12 hours in the country. And from that 12 hours, you have to run your marathon, get back and forth, eat your food. And well, we don't really get cleaned up that much. Maybe brush our teeth in the airport bathroom. But yeah, that's all part of the challenge. And so little by little, I figured it out. I knew what I was going to want to do was to start in Australia. I figured that from there, I could fly to Asia, which would be in Singapore, a lot of friends there. Then from Singapore, I had to get to Africa. So I picked South Africa to get to Europe. I was going to go to the UK, flew to London. From London, had to go to South America. So I went to Sao Paulo. And from Sao Paulo, worked my way back to Los Angeles to finish it up the Strand, going from Redondo Beach up to Santa Monica. And so, yeah, is it possible? Of course, there were a lot of dependencies, though. If a flight didn't take off, I was really basically out of luck. I could have had something happen to me. The weather could have been horrible. There were a lot of things that sort of I could not control for, but I was willing to sort of just go find out whether I could do this or not. And so, along the way, I realized that if I did a couple of things and kept some consistency in the plan, like basically eating the same food, having a backpack with a limited amount of gear, a couple pair of sneakers and some socks and some clothing, you know, a toothbrush and my laptop. Yes, I needed to bring my laptop so I could, you know, both check in on email and write some blog posts, because it was in the middle of my blog post journey, you know, of the past 10 years that I was going to actually do this. So I wanted to capture that. And then other things, I didn't have any idea how I was going to sleep. I was sitting in coach on all of the flights. I had a middle seat on one of them. I'm not sure that that was my favorite, but I never really ended sleeping all that much. I think it might have been 14 hours across the week. You know, by the time I got sort of on the plane, I probably fell asleep for a little bit, then got up and worked on some photographs and was wound up enough that I was either messaging or thinking or doing something. And so, you know, you'd get off the plane and you would get my early morning. I had eggs every day. Lunch was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I had some protein bars. But really, you know, in addition to the electrolyte drinks that I had, it wasn't a heavy calorie week. You know, this was a week that was going to actually probably test my, you know, heart and soul along the way. You know, in terms of, you know, the preparation and making sure that everything was going to go okay, you know, I was happy to have a good friend in each location who would pick me up and, you know, shepherd me along the way. There were in each of the cities, some people who would join me along the route and run with me, ride their bike, their scooter, their skateboard, whatever it was. Sometimes they would do more than they ever thought they could. You know, they might actually have been, you know, running 5 miles, first time ever. And so in each of the cities, you know, we had a meetup that was part of the actual experience. You know, I would meet some people locally, sometimes talk to the press, do a radio interview in a car ride to the airport. But you're like, when I finished at the Sydney Opera House in Sydney, you know, a whole bunch of my friends met me there. And, you know, we just celebrated that we got one done. And they got me off to the airport. And then the flight to Singapore, you know, wasn't all that bad. You know, I don't know, maybe 10 hours. Singapore, though, was hot. 95 degrees, 90% humidity. I knew this was going to happen. It's on the equator. So what in heaven's name else could it be? So we started running at 5 o'clock in the morning in Singapore. And the legendary story is that the one guy who was with me, supporting me on his bicycle, Richard, love Richard, like nothing you've ever seen, he forgot my electrolyte drinks. And, you know, at 5 in the morning, when I finally realized this is like 5 or 6 miles into it, there's nothing open. And Richard tried desperately to find some place to get me something to drink. And somehow I had to make it to mile 13 before we found some, you know, like soda machines to get some Gatorade-like liquid. I think I drank 8 of them over the next 13 miles, trying to survive that humidity. And, you know, just that sort of second day is probably the hardest, because you're, you know, I just ran a marathon yesterday. Now I got to run another one. And it's 95 degrees and 90% humidity. I remember finishing and saying, I think I just need to sit down. Well, and so then I kept going. I got to Johannesburg, and probably the most memorable in many, many ways, but I got to go present to a bunch of high schoolers. Now, the country of South Africa has a very, you know, interesting past. And, you know, I felt amazing support in spite of the fact that it hasn't been the friendliest of nations to its own citizens, really, along the journey. So I presented at a local high school. I had about 100 kids come out and join me for the start of my run. I had some who ran with me the entire time. I felt like a celebrity that day. It was actually pretty amazing. And, you know, geez, I thought I was well prepared. But little did I realize that Johannesburg's at 6,000 feet of elevation. I was wondering why those first miles were so hard. Well, I'm running at elevation, my third marathon in a row, with very limited sleep. But, you know, the joy and the excitement of the kids who came along with me just propelled me to that finish line. And, you know, my goal for the 6 marathons was to do them all under 4 hours. And I succeeded in Johannesburg as well. And, you know, the flight from there to London, I don't remember exactly, but it's probably the longest of the flights. And when I got to London, I had one of my buddies I work with. He picked me up in his fancy car and we drove actually back to our office in London, had my scrambled eggs, and we went up to Windsor and ran around the Queen's Castle and through the town. And it was really sort of so interesting because each location, it just felt different. You know, who joined me? What the sort of, general flora, fauna, the buildings and the themes and the feelings were just different. So every time, I was sort of excited. Yeah, I was probably getting a little bit sore, but happy to finish up London. And then my plane ride, then from there to Sao Paulo, it hit a few interesting bumps along the way. Like, well, I actually went to get my boarding pass and person at the counter decided that they were going to give me a hard time because they said that there really isn't any reason to fly to Sao Paulo just to go to Los Angeles because I wasn't going to be there long enough to have any purpose. I said, yeah, but I want to run a marathon. And he said, well, we're not going to let you go. I did have a visa to go to Brazil. And so after about 2 hours of talking and getting a supervisor involved, they finally let me on the plane. And I was happy for that. That was the flight that I had the middle seat. It was a bit uncomfortable. So really what I ended up doing was just walking along the aisles, which I probably didn't need to put more steps on my body. But, oh, well, be that as it may. One of the cool things I did leading up to the trip was I had T-shirts made up at the Six Continent Challenge. I always carried my backpack on my front so people could see on the back the dates all in a row in the cities. And so walking through airports, hanging around the plane, I got a lot of people asking me questions. And it was just really very exciting and fun to be able to do that. Sao Paulo, we got there on Good Friday, probably the best thing that ever happened to me because the city of Sao Paulo, very heavily Roman Catholic city, is off. And all the roads were sort of just closed and available for running. So I went through three of the parks. I ended up in this park that I've known because I've been to Sao Paulo before, Ipueira, and so exciting. But the ESPN of Brazil came out to track me, and they ran a segment on their ESPN, that of me, for 3 minutes running around the city of Sao Paulo. And so I didn't really fully understand it because it was in Portuguese, but man, was that exciting. I was a celebrity in the town. I had lots of people running with me. Turns out that day five was my fastest marathon. I think it was in the 340 something range. And I remember running really hard the last 5 miles to see what I could do. And I would say that it hurt a little bit, but it was really worth it. Had my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. As I'm going along, I realized that I hadn't laid down at all this week, was sitting in a car or on an airplane or running, but never laid down until really after that sixth marathon. So I got on the plane, now I'm on American Airlines, and sort of felt like I was going home. Landed in LA, I had a big crew of people come join me, of course, because, I'm from America, I've been all around the world, but it was really fun. And started in Redondo Beach, one of my good buddies lived there, and he and others who had outlined these routes for me thought that what I should do is basically run up next to the Pacific on the Strand and go through towns like Venice Beach and Manhattan Beach and all the places that would be fun to get through and see the sights and sounds. I think my feet were dragging a little bit in the beginning. It was warm. It was day six. I was into the many marathons. But, it was really, really fun was the mile 10. I had two more friends come and join me. I'm sorry, with 10 miles to go to run the last 10 miles. And well, we ended at the New Road School in Santa Monica, and it was phenomenal to meet the kids who I was sponsoring and connecting them with the kids in Guatemala. And I was just very excited to, finish it up, do it in the way that I was really hoping I would, which is to feel great, charged up, hadn't shaved in a week, probably looked awfully old, but felt really great inside. I was met by, again, some TV stations asking lots of questions. The kids in the high school saying they wanted to do something great in their life and realizing that a simple guy like me who started off in a pretty ordinary part of a journey years later was able to construct and create this wild challenge, this six continent challenge to run a marathon on six continents in 6 days, to do the planning, to execute it and to finish it. And to feel great about it and to know that each and every one of us has an opportunity if we want to go do something big and great and interesting. There's nothing in the way. Yes, I know it might have taken thousands of miles of running, hundreds of overnight flights and all of those things to get ready. But I was able to take what I had become and the power I had built inside me to go and take a huge challenge on like this, to be able to think big, to go beyond anything I could have ever imagined. Yeah, that's 2017, 6 years ago, and I'm itching for a big challenge that I have to sort of target over the next couple of years because It is in that journey, the planning, the dreaming, the execution, you know, sort of the reflection that life really happens. And so, you know, Six Continents will always be part of me. I will always sort of feel just different for having done it. And I wish for you the same. I hope that you can chase tomorrow like I've been chasing tomorrow and dream up your challenge, take yourself to the next level, and just enjoy this journey in ways that you could never imagine would actually happen. You know, thanks for coming with me. I look forward to getting my next guest on the podcast shortly. As we're reframing everything up, it's sort of moving along. I'm getting pretty close to having lots of people lined up. So we'll be talking to some amazing people as well. Enjoy. Chase tomorrow. See you out there.